Hi, you're listening to the Sermon Podcast of Impact Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I'm Pastor Brandon, the church planter and lead pastor. We are a new church in the DC area that is centered on the gospel and sent to our neighborhoods, Northern Virginia, and the nations. Please visit our website at www.impactfxbg.church. There, you'll find our current meeting times and locations. Our prayer is that you are encouraged by the message you hear today and fall more in love with Jesus and others. Thanks for listening.
Hey, if you guys have a Bible with you this morning, we are diving back into our current sermon series. And so if you have a Bible, feel free to go ahead and get that out. We are going to use them like we do every week. If you don't have a Bible, feel free to use a phone or tablet, whatever you have with you. Feel free if you're like new to church, maybe this is your first time to church ever, and you're like, what do you mean? Most of the time at church, they tell you to put your phone away. We actually tell you to take it out, and you feel free to use it to take notes. Feel free to use it to follow along in the Bible app. If you need a good Bible app, I use one called YouVersion, YOUVersion. You can download that. Follow right along with the scripture today, all right? We're going to be in the book of Acts today. The book of Acts. It's in the New Testament, and we're going to start in Acts chapter 20. So I'm not going to tell you exactly what verse yet, because I want to set it up for us a little bit. And we're not going to stay in Acts 20, okay? We're going to move to another part of the Bible in the New Testament later on in the message. So just kind of keep your Bibles out and stay with me this morning, all right? So we're going to be hanging out in Acts 20. Now, we are in the midst. We kicked off last week our new sermon series called You Asked For It. And this is basically what happened is a week or two before Easter, and then the last few weeks, we've been taking questions that you have. And really, there's a twofold reason for that. Number one, I think sometimes at church, we tell people not to ask questions. Like, hey, don't ask questions. Just go along and get along. You know, if you have a question, Google it or figure it out or go ask your priest or whatever it may be. And so we really want to encourage you, no, ask your questions. Like, we believe God's word has a lot to say, and it is okay for you to have questions about God, life, the Bible. We encourage that. We believe God's word can stand on its own. The second reason we want to do this series is because sometimes I feel like the church is trying to answer questions that people are not asking. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like sometimes we're up here answering questions that, like, no one has been asking. And so what we want to do is just get a heartbeat to know, okay, what is going on in the life of our church, and how can we be a part of, like, helping show you how to use God's word to answer those questions. So last week we got a lot of questions about heaven, you know, the afterlife, what that's going to look like. And it was really cool. We just opened up God's word and read it. And walk through it, try to explain a little bit of it. And it was really cool. If you missed it, feel free to go back and check out the podcast, and you can listen to it there. Today, we're going to be answering a kind of a different question. And another common theme of questions that we get, both in for this series, but also just as a pastor that I get a lot, really revolve around the issue of finances, money. You know, what is good? How do you manage this? What does the Bible say really about this? And really less about what does the Bible say, and really just how do I make it and what do I do? But this, there was one specific question that came in that I really enjoyed the way it was phrased, because it didn't use the word money. And can I just say, like, off the bat, a lot of times you're at church and you say the word, the pastor says the word money, and everybody freaks out a little bit, all right? Everybody take a breath. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay, you know? We're not asking you for money this week. That's next week's sermon. We're going to do that. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But, like, that's not the goal. That's not the point. The reason I like this question is because Jesus never really talked, like he never really gave lessons and messages on money. He just used money to talk about our hearts, okay? So when the Bible is talking about money, there may be some good principles about money in there, but what we're really getting at is the problem is never with money. The problem is usually with us. okay, with the people managing it. So this question was really cool because the person who wrote this question, and it was anonymous, so I'm not sure, but they used the word blessed. Everybody say blessed. Blessed, yeah. They use the word blessed, like talking about blessings and what does it mean to be blessed and what do I do if I'm blessed, but I see so many people around the world that aren't blessed, and what do you say to people who are trying to follow Jesus but they're not as blessed as someone else following Jesus? And I really appreciated that word blessed. Everybody say blessed. So let me ask you guys a question. How many of you here today would say that you are blessed? Raise your hand. Wow. Man, yeah. Maybe I will ask you for money today. No, I'm just playing around. That is so good. Like, yeah, that's so good. So let me ask you guys this, because maybe not, I mean, it looked like a lot of people raised their hand. So a lot of people feeling blessed today. But let me ask you this, like, maybe you didn't raise your hand, or even if you did, how many of you would say that you want to be blessed? How many of you, raise your hand, you want to be blessed? Actually, maybe less people. You're like, I don't know if I want to be blessed. I just am, okay? Like, I just am, all right? No, listen, it's okay. It is okay to want to be blessed, all right? Because the blessings that the Bible talks about ain't just talking about your checking account, all right, or your savings account. We're talking about the blessings of God. And so I want to open up God's Word with you, Acts chapter 20, and we're going to read verse 35. And we're really, like, you guys got to understand, when I teach in God's Word, I don't usually like to cherry pick verses to take one verse here and one verse there and one verse there, because we have so many people in our church who are new to the faith, new to church. Maybe you're here today and you're not even following Jesus yet. You're just kind of figuring this thing out and trying to re-engage. I want you to know we're so glad you're here. So what I try to do is I try to read God's Word just verse by verse, just like I would if I was sitting down in my living room at home, so that we can gain confidence in how to read God's Word. If I just come in and blast out a bunch of random verses at you, you're going to be like, I don't know what he did or how he did that. So I want you guys to learn. But today, we are going to use a verse in the book of Acts to kind of launch us into the rest of the New Testament, because I think the context is important. But I want to encourage you to go back and read this section, all right? Because I'm not trying to take it out of its context just for the sake of time today. I don't have time to read the whole chapter to you, and so we're kind of get there. So Acts chapter 20 would be really great if you're looking for something to read in God's Word this week. All right, Acts chapter 20, we're going to read verse 35. If you're there, say, I'm there. Ah, good news. All right, let's do this. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said. Now, these letters will probably be in red in your Bible. It is more blessed, somebody say blessed, to give than to receive. How many of you have heard that before? Yeah, you don't have to grow up in church to hear that. It's just, don't let somebody give Shakespeare credit for that, okay? That was the Lord Jesus who said that. Biblical principle, everybody. But I love that, because what I wanted us to do is, we're going to read something else in the Bible in a second, but I wanted us to start with the words of Jesus. And so here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, it is more blessed. Everybody say blessed. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Doesn't that sound backwards? Like, a lot of times when we're like reading God's Word and we're thinking about being blessed, and maybe that's why even some of us had some trepidation about saying, I want to be blessed, because we view the word blessed as receiving. Blessings mean I am getting. To be blessed means I have been given much. But guys, listen to me. If we follow Jesus, Jesus has a different definition of being blessed. He says it is more blessed, you will be more blessed when you are giving away than when you are receiving. Isn't that amazing? Like, isn't that so different than the definition the world gives us of what it looks like to live the blessed life. Like I went through, there's a best-selling book out, actually, called The Blessed Life. And it follows along with this whole like sermon series, this whole thing about how we as Christians can live a blessed life, all in terms of just our finances. Now, I just want you to know, I want you to hear, like, when Jesus is talking about being blessed, he's talking about giving, not receiving. So if we want to be blessed, Jesus says, then you got to get comfortable with giving and being generous than you do receiving. Because listen, being blessed is not about what you have. Being blessed is about what you give away. I used to think that if everything was going great and I was experiencing success, then that was because God was blessing me. So it meant I was doing something right. So even as a pastor, like I would think, man, if we had a good Sunday, or if things were looking up, or just like you would look at and track the success of a business, right? Like, okay, if money is up and people are up and morale is up and everything's up, then I am blessed. I am being blessed. And so it's really hard sometimes, like even as a pastor, I would think, well, if I had a lot of stuff, or if I had a lot, if things were going my way, then that must mean I'm doing something right. You guys ever heard that phrase where somebody's like, I must be living right, you know, because things are going their way. And so what they think is that is God blessing them. Well, guys, that's no different than other random spiritual beliefs like karma, right? Or sending good vibes, like God is just a vibe up in heaven going, oh, I really liked the way you said a quick prayer for that person asking for money. Here's some vibes for you today. You're going to get a promotion at work, you know? And if we're not careful, that tends to be what we think God is like, okay? But that's not what God is like. Jesus says it is more blessed for you to give. You will be more blessed in your giving than you will be blessed in your receiving. And so, guys, we don't base our blessing as people of God, as followers of Jesus, based on whether or not we are pleasing to God. See, Jesus already took care of that on the cross. Like, you could not be more, before Jesus died on the cross, you could not be more wretched to God. You full of sin. Some of you going, I wasn't even alive back then. No, but you still today. Like without Jesus, man, our lives are wretched to God. They're filthy. They're sinful. They're an affront to his holiness, all right? But because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we are forgiven of our sins. The punishment has been paid. We are free. We are seen by God with the same righteousness and perfection that Jesus had, even though we're not. Like, that's called grace, and that's what Jesus has given to us. Guys, that's the blessed life, all right? And so if we're not careful, we start to get it a little backwards. And so there's actually a couple of false teachings out there that I really think maybe even some of these questions come from that I just wanted to address this morning. The first false teaching, if you're taking notes, you can write this one down. But the first false teaching is called the prosperity gospel. Have you guys ever heard of this before? Yeah, some of you have. It gets picked on a lot. The prosperity gospel. Here's basically what it is. If you live right, if you do everything well, they say God, but it's really the pastor. If you do everything the pastor says, all right, and you live right, and you do whatever they say to do, then you will be blessed by God, okay? It also goes to the more you give, the more God will bless you, okay? So if you, if you want God to get you that brand new BMW, right? Or maybe you're looking at maybe like a Tesla SUV or something, and you're like, man, that's really what I want. Then you go, man, how much, God, do I have to give for you to get me that? Okay, that's the prosperity gospel. I'm a good person. I give a lot of money, so therefore I deserve to be blessed by God in these ways. Guys, that is a false teaching. Okay? That's not what we see in Scripture. Because we actually see a lot of people who did a lot of stuff for God, who lived very righteous lives, who suffered greatly in God's Word. And so I don't want you to be fooled to think, well, God didn't heal me, so maybe God doesn't love me. Or God didn't give me the money that I needed, so maybe I'm not living a life that is pleasing to God. Guys, we do not equate God's love for us with the material things He gives to us. Okay? We don't. His love for us is not based on any materialism of this world. So you've got the prosperity gospel. And that's really popular. I even heard it this past week. You know, I was talking to somebody and they were trying to explain to me, you know, yeah, I just believe, like, I've been really good with my money and I've been, you know, really wealthy and I got an inheritance and I got all this stuff and I was really good with it. And I even give 10% to charity and I just believe God blessed that and He made me a millionaire. And so now I've got even more money. And I'm like, well, actually, that's okay. Nothing wrong with being a millionaire. In fact, I'm praying maybe some of you are millionaires in this room today, and you'll love to give a tithe today. I'd love that, okay? But there's nothing wrong with that. But what we don't want to do, church, listen, what we don't want to do is we don't want to accredit that to God as if He gave us that because we did something for Him. God is not a business partner. He is the holy God of all the universe, and you are His child. Okay, that's the relationship. So there's the prosperity gospel. But sometimes what happens is in an attempt to call out false teachers in the prosperity gospel, I call it a pendulum, and we swing all the way to the other side in what I call the disparity gospel. The disparity gospel goes something like this. God requires me to suffer. If I'm not suffering, I'm not following Jesus. And I'm not into all this prosperity gospel stuff. Like, I'm not trying to be blessed. In fact, when I read the Bible, these guys were killed for their faith. They were persecuted for their faith. Bad things happened to them because of their faith. And so if I'm enjoying life, I must not be following Jesus right. That's the disparity gospel. They just constantly live in guilt if they are blessed for something. And guys, that too is a false teaching. And I'm going to show you right where in Scripture. So listen, as followers of Jesus, we don't want to equate material blessings with God's favor, but we also don't want to neglect material blessings because we think that's going to be more pleasing to God. So if you still have your Bibles out, let's open up and turn to Philippians chapter 4. So you're just going to flip over or scroll a little further down to Philippians chapter 4. And I want us to hang out there for a few minutes. Because what we're going to do is we're going to read a story in the Bible today that tells us the secret of living the blessed life. Okay? And this story, I can't find one that's any more explicit in Scripture that is going to help us today to walk out and go, man, how do I live the blessed life? And this, in God's Word, is going to give us the secret to stay away from the pendulum of trying to equate God's, you know, favor with material blessing or disparity gospel. This is going to help us learn the secret of what it is. So Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 10. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 10. If you're there, say, I'm there. All right. Here we go. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 10. Now, I'm going to read a verse or two. I'll stop and explain it and kind of jump back in, okay? So hang in there with me. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Somebody say, rejoice. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. All right, now let me give you the context of what's going on. There's a guy named Paul in the Bible. Everybody say Paul. There's a guy named Paul in the Bible. We call him the Apostle Paul. And Paul was a missionary. He basically got saved by Jesus and immediately gave his life for the fulfillment of the gospel. And he went town to town, city to city, all throughout the Roman Empire, preaching the gospel of Jesus and establishing churches everywhere he went. Okay, that's what Paul did. And so Paul is kind of this, like, he would go, this letter was written to the church in the city of Philippi. And Paul would go to them. He would live there for a while, preach the gospel. People would give their lives to Jesus. He would baptize them, or others would baptize them. And then they would start a church kind of like this, and except they would meet in homes and do all this. And they'd multiply, and they'd have all this network of churches throughout the city. And then he would establish pastors for them. And he would say, now these guys are going to pastor you or pester you, and then I'm going to be sent out. Okay, and so then they would send Paul out, and he would go to another city, and he would do the exact same thing. Now, usually what would happen is when they sent him out, they know that to start churches, he's going to need some support. He's going to need some money to eat food with. He's going to maybe need some money to offer to have a place to stay. Because where he's going, it's not like he can just call up all the Christians and say, hey, I'm coming into town to do a crusade. You guys got a spare bedroom I can sleep in? There were no Christians, okay? So the Christians that from this town had to help support him to go into another town to do the work of the ministry. And so that's what would happen. So Paul is doing that. And what he's saying is he's telling the church, he's writing a letter, and he says, I'm rejoicing greatly because you have revived your concern for me. In other words, you sent me out and you keep checking on me. You keep asking me, Paul, do you need anything? Paul, do you have enough food to eat? Paul, are you well taken care of? Paul, we've got some money. We'd like to send an offering to you. And every time Paul's like, no, I'm okay right now. I'm okay right now. Like, things are going okay. I'm okay. But then he says this, he says, you were concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. In other words, like, you wanted to play a part in advancing the gospel, but it wasn't your place yet. It wasn't your time yet. There wasn't an opportunity. But now God is starting to open a door for you to play a part financially in spreading the gospel. All right? So let's keep reading. Verse 11. Paul says this. Now, this is some of the most important in this whole passage, so make sure you highlight and underline it. In verse 11, he says, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned, somebody circle that word, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned, somebody circle that word, the secret, oh, here's the secret, of facing plenty and facing hunger, abundance and need. Here's the secret. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Isn't that beautiful? I thought that last verse was just for basketball players. That's amazing. See, here's the thing. Here's what Paul's doing. Paul is writing them a letter and he's saying, I'm not begging you for money. Okay? Why? Because it's not about money. It's about your heart. And twice in this passage, Paul uses the word learned. He says, I have learned this. I've learned the secret of being content. Somebody say content. I have learned the secret of being content. Guys, the secret of living the blessed life is to live a content life. That no matter what situation God puts you in, whether you have a season of having a lot or you're in a season of having very little, you learn to be content. How did Paul learn that? Because I'm just going to be very honest with you. If that's something that's going to take a lot of time, I may not have time for that. In fact, I don't even know that I want to learn that, right? Here's how Paul learns it. Paul says, I learned the secret of being content by living at times in my life where I had plenty. Isn't that crazy? Everybody thinks about, especially false teachers of the disparity gospel, act like Paul just lived poor all the time. But right here, Paul tells us, no, actually, there were times I was making it rain everywhere. Like, I had ice, like, I was on it, you know? Like Paul is saying there were times, you don't understand. Paul actually came from a very wealthy, well-educated background. And so Paul is going, no, there were times that I had plenty. He goes, but then there were also times that I had a great need. He also says there were times that my table was full of food, and then there were times I went to bed hungry. Now, if your theology is wrapped up around God loving you based on what you have in your material possession, Paul would be pretty jacked up, wouldn't he? He'd be like, what's up, God? I'm out here starting churches for you, preaching the gospel for you, and I'm going to bed hungry? What is that about? And Paul says, just over time, I learned, because God put me in these different positions where there were seasons that I had a lot, and I was door dashing every day. I was like getting my food. I was ordering extra milkshakes. I was making my Starbucks runs. Like, there were seasons I had plenty. And then there were seasons, man, I couldn't find any food to eat. Paul says, by being in both of those positions, I learned that God's love is the same for me, no matter what position I find myself in. That God's blessings in my life were not dependent on the number of zeros in my savings account. That's what he says. But he says that he learned it. And so, I don't know if you're here today, there might be some people here today who you go, man, I struggle with contentment. And how do you know if you struggle with contentment? You're always looking for jobs. Always. One thing in Northern Virginia I always joke about is the amount of people who spend more time looking for jobs at their job than they do actually doing their job. Okay? No, it's so true. It's so true. Like, you can get wrapped up into it really quick. If you want to know, are you struggling with contentment? Now, there are seasons to look for jobs. But if you find yourself just hanging out on the couch and, I don't know, I could read a book, but I think I'm just going to scroll through Indeed one more time and just see if there's anything, see if there's any more job postings available. Like, there are seasons. But guys, there are signs to tell us. If you are constantly on your supervisor's back about that next promotion, or how do I get that next raise, how do I get up that next ring of the ladder, and you're obsessed with it, and it's all you think about, you might struggle a little bit with contentment. If you are constantly looking at different cities to live in, you might struggle a little bit with contentment. Oh, this city's cost of living is a little lower. Oh, babe, did you know that we could get the same house for half the mortgage that we're paying on this one if we would just move an hour south? Did you know that? And we start having these conversations, and they start taking over everything. And the problem with that, church, is that we miss out on what God has for us right in front of our faces. Guys, that's a lack of contentment. And Paul said he had to learn contentment. And he learned it by allowing God to walk him through seasons where he had very little, and seasons where he had a lot. So guys, the question for us becomes, if we want to live the blessed life, then how do we ask God to help us be content in that? Paul says that the secret is that you're doing all things in his strength, in the strength of Jesus. So if you have a lot, then you are giving generously through the strength of Jesus. That's what you're doing. If you find yourself in need and having very little, then you are surviving in the strength of Jesus. But neither lifestyle is less important to God. You need Jesus just as much when you've got an awesome savings account than you do when you got no savings account. You need Jesus just as much. And guys, that's what Paul says. The secret to the blessed life is a spirit of contentment, going, well, I needed Jesus just as bad then as I do now. So he's writing this to this church who wants to give to him. And I think he's trying to tell them, yes, I do need your gift, but it's for the advancement of the gospel, not just so I can have a better car Well, he didn't have a car, but a camel or something. He says it's not just because of that. Okay, let's keep reading. Look at verse 14. Yet, it was kind of you to share my trouble. Isn't that sweet? Paul knows that it's totally up to Jesus. But he also knows that Jesus uses his church to provide for the advancement of the gospel. It was kind of you to share in my trouble. He could have just left it at, no thanks, Jesus will take care of it. But he keeps going and says, Jesus will take care of it. But you know, it's so kind of you to be a part of that in my life. Because guys, listen, sometimes Jesus' answer to provide for us comes through us. See, sometimes we're waiting for God to provide, and we have already told 10 people in our church, no thank you, you don't need to bring a meal by this week. No thank you, I don't need any help right now. God will provide for me. Well, guys, right here we see in the New Testament that one of God's plans to provide for us is His church. When we get to the advancement of the gospel and missionaries come and they say, man, I need to go to the underground church in China and share the gospel, or I need help doing this, we say things like, Lord, just provide for them. And God's going, I just gave you a bonus last week, knucklehead. I am providing for them, and I'm doing it through you. And guys, that's what we see right here in the New Testament. The model for God supplying needs to advance the gospel came through the local church. All right, let's wrap this up. Verse 15 says this, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Verse 17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I've received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. They're a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Oh, somebody underline this verse right here. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's a pretty good provision, isn't it? So to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Somebody say amen. Amen. Guys, here's what I want you to see. When we talk about living the blessed life, it's not about the money. It's about the fruit that multiplies in your life. Paul tells them something really weird here. He says, I'm not worried about the gift. Okay? Which is weird because he probably needed it. Because I'm not worried about the gift. He says, I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. See, guys, the only way we get fruit is if a seed is planted. Okay? And when we give for the advancement of the gospel, we are planting all of these gospel seeds. Every time you give your tithes and offerings, every time you give above that, every time you give to missionaries and you give to the advancement of the gospel, you are planting all of these gospel seeds. And then missionaries like all of us, because if you're a follower of Jesus, you're a missionary too. We come alongside and we water those seeds. And over time, they grow. And as they grow, they produce fruit. And so what Paul is saying is, he goes, I'm not just worried about your money. I care about you getting to watch God bring about something from nothing. He goes, because your faith is going to increase. Like if you only knew how when I step foot, no one follows Jesus. And because you provide for me, I preach the gospel, God saves people, and now there are churches started, and one day there's a place called America, and people are going to start churches in America. Even the gospel is going to bear fruit there because of your gift that you're giving today. Paul says it ain't about your money. It's about you seeing the fruit that comes. In my opinion, what is the fruit? The fruit are changed lives. Seeing life change all throughout our city. Seeing people who were once in darkness now walking in light. That's the fruit that we want to see. You know the interesting thing about fruit though? Fruit has seeds in it. Isn't that interesting? Because see, when you pick the fruit off of that tree, the cycle starts over again. Because now the seed, that seed falls to the ground and more trees are planted. We have a word at our church we use for that. Anybody know what it is? It's called multiplication. Where you plant one seed with a gift and it gets watered and it grows and it bears fruit and lives are changed. And then that seed falls to the ground and it happens again. Until there is a city of Fredericksburg and Northern Virginia and our nation's capital and ultimately every nation on planet Earth that is bearing fruit of changed hearts and changed lives because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And it happens with a seed. And that's what Paul is talking about here. And he says, so don't get me wrong. Does it take money to advance the gospel? Sometimes. Sometimes people got to eat. But listen, because of your giving, I'm not here to tell you thank you for giving this many zeros this month. He says, I'm here to tell you about the changed lives and the changed hearts. And then Paul calls their generosity fragrant, acceptable, and pleasing. Because they're doing it out of concern and care for the gospel. But he uses another word for their generosity. Fragrant, acceptable, pleasing. He says it was a sacrifice. Guys, generosity is always sacrificial. If we are giving for the advancement of the gospel and it's not costing us anything, it's just like I spent more money getting ice cream after church than I did on the advancement of the gospel. When we start doing things like that, guys, we don't have a money problem. We might have a heart problem. That there are other things that have control of our lives and our hearts, like money or fear, than the gospel does. And so we look at verse 19, and we look at verse 19, and I'll go ahead and, is Gavin around? Gavin can come up whenever he's around. Yep, there he is back there. Because what we see is, I want you to look back at verse 19 with me. Why could Paul be content in every circumstance? Why? Because he says in verse 19 that when you serve the Lord, Jesus takes care of you. You give up. You go, no, now that doesn't mean you have to go into full-time ministry. It may mean you're still a defense contractor or you're still a stay-at-home mom or you're still a science teacher or you're still a bus driver or you're still a construction worker or a businessman or woman. Like, you may keep that, but you no longer let money have a hold on you because you know that God has called you to do something greater with your life than just run the rat race of Northern Virginia. Here's what I've learned. Something that I say, and I don't have it tattooed on my body that you know of, but I got it tattooed on my heart. And it may sound kind of corny, it may even sound like something prosperity teachers might say, but in light of this verse, I believe it's true. That if it's God's will, it's God's bill. I'll tell you these last three things. Number one, the blessed life is not about having a lot of material possessions. Living a blessed life, not about having a lot of material possessions. The blessed life is not about giving the church money so that God will bless you. The blessed life is about trusting God no matter what. When you have plenty and when you have need. So I believe that God is giving us an opportunity to trust Him more. And you may see that in your life, and I desire that in your life. Listen, I desire for God to bless you richly. I do. Not for the sake of this church, just because I love you. Like, I desire that. But I know just as sure you get brought low or you go high, I know that God's presence is just as strong in the valley as it is on the mountaintop. And so we got to learn the secret of being content, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So you might be here today and realize that there's some things in your life, right, that need to change, to ask God to provide some contentment in your life for Him to provide, and to realize it is more, somebody say blessed, to give than it is to receive. God's blessings come through generosity, not through what you get. But I also believe that God is providing some opportunities for our church to trust Him. I believe God's providing opportunities for us to trust Him. I believe God's providing opportunities for our church to trust Him. And so today, you picked a really good day to come, because I've got a super exciting announcement for you today. I believe God's calling us to trust Him. And so in the next few months, we have discovered this year that we are going to shift the location of our Sunday morning worship gathering. Then in the next few months, we're not going to meet here anymore. Now trust God to provide a new place for us to gather on Sunday mornings. Now I want you to notice a couple of things that I'm saying. I'm not saying that we're moving the church. Do you know why? Because the church is the people, not the building. You guys move all the time. Like, you're going to leave here today, right? People ask me all the time, Pastor, where is your church? And I look at them and I go, everywhere. And they go, no, I know, but where is it like currently? And I go, well, let's see, 12 o'clock p.m., probably the Pentagon, Quantico, Dahlgren. Like, the church is everywhere. And it takes them a minute to realize we don't own a building, and we are not tied down to a building. We can go wherever the Lord Jesus takes us, and we can do whatever our Lord Jesus tells us to do. And we don't have to worry about making all this money to keep the lights on and do all of this stuff. We can just give it all for the sake of the gospel. So we're not changing this church. This does not affect our vision or our mission at all. Changes nothing. All it does is shift where we will gather on Sunday mornings. And I want to tell you this too. This is normal for a new church. This is normal for a new church. New churches, for the first 20 years of their existence, often go 20 different places. Okay, this is a very normal part of starting a new church, especially in an area like the D.C. region, where I don't know if you guys have looked at like prices lately, it's a little expensive. I'll give you just an idea of a place we looked at that would be a similar size to what we have right now, going for about $18,000 to $20,000 a month. Well, I want to tell you this. Our elders are committed that we are not going to strap this church down to pay $20,000 a month for a building that we might get kicked out of after a year or two just to say that we have a building. We're going to use those funds to give away, because it is more blessed to... And the last thing is, we've begun to feel our limitations in this space. I mean, Alexa, I think about our kiddos back there. I mean, guys, I want you to know, we have We went 3 weeks in a row breaking every attendance record in our kids' ministry. Now, we're only 2.5 years old, so it's not like we've got, 20 years worth of stuff. But guys, when there are Sundays, we have 40 to 50 kids back there. That is a blessing. God's working and moving in this church. So we're going to trust Him. Because we're, just to be very honest with you, we're not getting more space here. And we never thought we would be in the basement of another church for the rest of our church's existence. So here's what you need to know. We're going to move by this summer. We have a couple of exciting opportunities that I hope to be announcing in the next week or two. For now, I'm asking you to pray with us. That we as a church would gather together to pray. And then lastly, what you need to know is as we pray, let's pray that God would prepare us to be a blessing and to provide what this church needs to continue its presence in our community. So we're going to pray, and we're going to pray that God would prepare us to provide whatever may be needed to do what God has called us to do. So listen, this church has been richly blessed. People may look in and go, "Hey, you guys don't have a building. You're just a few ragtags meeting in the basement of a church." Well, let me tell you what makes this church blessed. Is that every Sunday morning we gather together and we experience the presence of God. We've seen lives changed. And we can't let up. There are still hundreds of thousands of people within driving distance to wherever this church may meet on Sundays that do not know Jesus. We cannot let up. But we know it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so we got to get in on that. We got to get in on it. And so here's two ways that I'm going to ask us today as we enter into our response time and close out our time is to do two things. Number one, way that you can respond is to receive God's gift. To receive His gift. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He," anybody know? He gave His only Son, Jesus, so that whoever believes in Him won't have to go to hell, won't have to perish, but can live an eternal life with God in heaven. Aren't you glad? And if you're here today, I want you to know we're not asking you to open up your pocketbook. We're saying, why don't you open up your heart and receive this gift that Jesus has given to you, the gift of eternal life and a relationship with God through Jesus. So that's our first step, is to receive that gift. But here's the second way you can get in on it. Is how is God calling you to leverage your resources for the advancement of the gospel? And you say, "Brandon, I don't have a lot of resources. I don't even have a savings account." Resources is not abundance. It's just what you do have. And so how do you leverage what you do have? How do you leverage a home? How do you leverage a vehicle? How do you leverage a job? How do you leverage your time? How do you leverage your savings account? How do you leverage the money that you make? How do you leverage these things to advance the gospel in your neighborhoods, in Northern Virginia, and in the nations? Two ways that we can get in on this is to receive the gift and then to leverage our gifts for the advancement of the gospel.
Hi, Pastor Brandon here. Thanks again for listening to our Impact Church Sermon Podcast. If God has spoken to you today or you have a prayer request you'd like to share, please email us at hello@impactfxbg.church. If you're local to the Fredericksburg area, we would love to see you for worship in person. But if not, please let us know if we can help you find a gospel-centered church right where you're at. Feel free to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram and on our website, www.impactfxbg.church. Until next time, keep living the dream.